the Gospel of Matthew, the very last part of that Gospel, reading from chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Jesus gathers the disciples on a mountain in Galilee. Listen for the word of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." May God bless this reading to our understanding and our living. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your transforming, moving, dynamic love fills us. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't mind preaching to giggles, so. Trinity Sunday is unusual in the Christian calendar because it's the only Sunday that is actually dedicated to a doctrine, a teaching of the church, rather than some event in the life of Jesus or in the history of the church. But for those who really understand the Trinity, it too is a story. It's a description of an event of moving love, of ever-flowing, always dynamic love, because that's who God is. And that is who is part of our history on this day and forever. Now that passage from Matthew, some doubts its ancientness. They think it was put in later because it has a very clear reference to the Trinity, and you don't get that much in the New Testament. That's a doctrine that it took almost 400 years for people to get their heads around, because this so contradicted everything people had understood about God at that time. They thought God was way up there and we were down here, and God would never get God's hands dirty. To say that God would actually be with us, would give God's own life for us, would enter our death for us, and then rise from the dead, well, that made no sense to them or their logic. It just happened, that's all. And there we have it, though, in the Gospel of Mark. So they said, well, this came later, but it's hard to believe it came later when it says so poignantly that when Jesus stood there on that mountain in Galilee, it says some worshiped, but some doubted. When you're making something up later, you don't put those kind of details in. We don't know what their doubt was. Perhaps for some of them, this wasn't the way they thought it would play out. They didn't think Jesus standing there before them, having been crucified, was relevant to them. Somehow they wanted a more glorious conquering king. Could this really be the authority of God? Could this really be genuine authority? To have Jesus risen from the dead tell them to go into the world and make disciples now of all nations? Teaching them to obey everything that he had commanded. What had he commanded? Well, we know that from the story of Matthew. To love your enemies. Be kind and reach out to those who have been ostracized and abandoned by society. to not worry about anything, and to love one another as God has loved us in Jesus. Can that really be the world-transforming word that they are to share? Is that genuine authority? A picture here of Mount Tabor in Galilee, which is traditionally seen to be the site of this great commission of Jesus. You look down upon the Jezreel Valley from there, and just over that hill is Nazareth. But this passage really is not so much about geography as it is about the identity of God. In this passage, Matthew is bringing to a beautiful coda what he began in his gospel when Joseph had a dream and he was told to name the baby that was about to be born Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Right at the beginning of the story, we're told he is Emmanuel, God is with us. Here at the end of the story, from Jesus himself, we hear the words now, and lo, I am with you always, to the fulfillment of God's purpose, always. With the authority of love. Now, we see a lot of different authorities in this world. We've seen people blowing themselves up to claim one kind of authority in London and in Manchester over these past few weeks. The authority of violence, the authority of fear, the authority of power. Can love be the genuine authority, this moving love of the eternal God? Now, you'll see most, Avery's hanging in there. That's the authority of love. These little human beings change your life. They punch above their weight in the influence they have in their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. That love moves you. Those of you who have loved another with all your heart know the authority of love in your life. Know how love demands your time and attention, your wealth and your skills. The authority of love, when you love another, changes everything. It's hard for us to love our enemies. It's hard for us to understand the authority of love in the place of those who don't even believe or trust you. But God still loves. God loves the atheists, and God loves those who blow themselves up in hatred. It breaks God's heart, of course, but they too are God's beloved children. And the authority of that love, the eternal authority of that love, changes everything. It's beautiful to see when someone lives with that genuine authority as the purpose and meaning of their life. This is Stephen MacDonald. Stephen died in January, and his story came out in a Christian magazine called The Plow in April. It's an incredible story. He looks frail there. You can see if you can make it out. He breathes with the help of an oxygen tube. He's paralyzed from the neck down. Stephen wasn't always that way. On July 12th in 1986, he was a young police officer, 29 years old. And he stopped to question three teenagers about a stolen bike. when the oldest of them, 15-year-old Shavad Jones, took out a gun and shot him 3 times, in the head, in the neck, and in the arm. Now, Stephen had just been married 6 months before that, and his wife, Patty Ann, was 3 months pregnant. He was rushed to hospital, and the doctors, surgeons told Patty Ann that Stephen would never walk again. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He spent the next 18 months in hospital undergoing treatment and rehabilitation. And at the end of the 18 months, Stephen came before the press of New York and he said that he forgave Shavad Jones. He said this. Here he is in Lawrence Road Middle School as he spent the rest of his life talking about the authority of love in his life. Here he is at the Sea of Galilee, not very far away from that Mount Tabor, where Jesus gave the Great Commission. He asked those who were with him to remove his shoes so he could put his feet in the Sea of Galilee. But he said this, forgiving Shavad Jones, I wanted to free myself of all the negative, destructive emotions that this act of violence awoke in me, the anger, the bitterness, the hatred. He said this was not easy for him. And the rest of his life was not easy. He would go into times of depression and times when he would feel sorry for himself. This was not easy to forgive. But he said, I needed to free myself of those so I could be free to love my wife and our child and those around us. I often tell people that the only thing worse than a bullet in my spine would have been to nurture revenge in my heart. Such an attitude would have extended my tragic injury into my soul, hurting my wife, son, and others even more. Stephen accepted the authority of love into his life, not hatred, not revenge, because he wanted to love his family. It was wonderful what happened. He began to speak to schools in New York City of forgiveness. 2 years after that shooting in 1986, Shavad Jones called him from prison and apologized. He and a companion, a Protestant pastor, Stephen MacDonald, was a Roman Catholic. The Protestant pastor went with another fellow, Father Judge from New York. You'll remember he is the first casualty of the World Trade Center. They went together to Northern Ireland after the Good Friday Peace Accord, and there they spoke of the importance of forgiveness and reconciliation. In his life, he gave others the authority of love. His son, Connor, who was born 6 months after he was shot, grew up knowing a father who lived by love. When Connor was at university in Boston, his father every week would make a trip down there to have breakfast with him. And Connor went into the police force, became the fourth generation of McDonald's to serve in New York. Every morning when Connor was going through his training at 5 a.m. as he went out to patrol, his father would call him, tell him how much he loved him. Connor says he received from his dad much more than many with a fully abled father ever get. He knew the authority of love in his life. Now, Stephen died in January this year at the age of 59. Comes pretty close to home. His body gave out. He had a heart attack. But his soul has not given out. The love that shaped his life continues to inspire and shape the lives of others. Here you see the day of his funeral. They could not fit enough of New York into that huge St. Patrick's Cathedral. They gathered outside in their thousands to say goodbye to the man who knew that love is the genuine authority of our lives. And it alone gives life and transforms life forever. We welcome these children into that love this day. Let it transform you. Let us pray. O gracious God, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you move among us with your powerful, eternal love. Open our hearts and our wisdom to live in response. In Jesus' name, amen.